Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Pastor Shelby, a hand as she comes to minister the word this morning.
I'm on. Well, it is my pleasure to speak to you today. God has been stirring this message in my heart for some time, and just finally, just said, okay, now's the time. Okay, we'll do it. So I'm just going to pray that God gives you what you're supposed to have today. But I think it's very appropriate to teach on what I'm teaching on today. Speaking of authentic community, honor and respect is part of that, right? So this is called Honor to Whom Honor. And I believe that we already know quite a few things about honor, but how many know there's always more to know in the things of God, right? And when he gets involved, then we get a deeper illumination of it, and we're like, oh, I didn't know that. So that's what I'm going to pray for us today. You also know, we talked about it last week, if you plug into him and you be like a sponge, he personalizes the message to you. So I could be saying whatever up here, and it might be one little part of my, paragraph that I say to you, and you're like, oh my gosh, he highlighted that to me. Well, that's a word for you. So take it as yours and ask him to show you even more about that. So right now we're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place. I thank you for the time in praise and worship that we sang about your greatness and your faithfulness and your goodness and the fact that you're our friend and the fact that you are here for us and we are here for you. And we want to be in you and have you be in us and have you reveal your truth to us so much that it changes us into the person that you've called us to be. I know that you see where we've come from, you see where we are, but you see where you've created us to be. And I thank you that today you take this word and just catapult us forward even further. And we thank you for it. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel 2, I'm just going to read a few scriptures so that we can get a context of kind of where we're going today. 1 Samuel 2. And I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm starting in verse 12, and we're just going to briefly read through this, and then I'll tell you where we're headed. Excuse me. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Now, it was the practice of the priests, this was the way they were supposed to do it, with the people, that when anyone offered a sacrifice while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would plunge it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. Verse 15. But even before the fat was burned, the servant of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the man said to him, "Well, let the fat be burned up first and then take what you want," the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Go over to verse 22. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all of Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. So then he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I heard from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it's not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord, and then it was the Lord's will to put them to death. Verse 27, now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people of Israel? Verse 30, therefore the Lord of God of Israel declares, I promised that your house of your father's house would be ministers before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. So, that's kind of the context of where we're reading today. And I know that sounds like, oh, that's heavy. But the exciting thing is, that's not who God's called us to be. The part I want us to focus in on is the part that says, those who honor me, I'll honor. That's the part. So what is honor? How do we show honor? So that's what we're going to kind of be looking at. So here's a few definitions of honor. To value, to esteem, to prize, to treat as weighty, to be in awe of, or to revere. So in order for us to know what, in this verse he says about despising, right? Those who despise me. So let's find out what despise is. Because I know in our day and age, we might say, oh man, I despise that. That really means I hate that. That's kind of how we use that word. But that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about to mishandle his things, to treat them lightly or to make little of them, to fail to esteem. And something that we hear nowadays a lot is, it's no big deal. Which, I mean, in some situations that's appropriate, right? But in other situations it's not. And we want to make sure that we're handling God's things like they are a big deal, because there are big deals in the things of God, right? And, in our lives, and as I've looked over my life and Pastor Dan and I's life, you know, there are times where we make sure that we're putting God and his things and his word above everything else. But there have been times where we get caught in, situations where we're not really putting everything above, or we're not really putting God above everything else. Sometimes we get caught in the hustle and bustle of life and we get, Holy Spirit kind of taps us on the shoulder. Hey, what are you doing? But we have a choice. And if that is our underlying choice, and that's kind of been our thing, is even when we mess up, because none of us are perfect, even when we mess up, our heart's desire is to put God's things first. It's to always honor God and to learn how to honor him more. Verse 29 says, why do you honor your sons more than me? And so when we look up at verse 22, let's just look at that again, where it says, Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all of Israel. And I'm just wondering to myself, do you honestly think this was the first time that his sons were doing this? No. Do you honestly think this was the first time Eli had heard about them doing this? I mean, I can't even imagine that. If it had got, I'm sure, like, you know, when people start doing things, they dabble in it, right? And then they get away with it. So then they try a little more, and then they try a little more until pretty soon they're really deep into it. This sounds like this had been a progression for a while, right? So Eli, there's no way he didn't know about this. But he's acting like, oh, I've just heard about this. Shame on you. That is not how we handle the thing. He should have been really, really strong with his boys. If this happens again, you are out, or you are out. Like, you're not allowed to do that. But, you know, it tells me something when I look at that. Eli, his boys, it says that his boys did not listen to him. Why do you suppose that is? You know, I'm a preschool teacher. So at preschool, I get to see a lot of examples of parenting, and you can learn a lot when you watch children. But the fact is, if you've set up a precedence of how you deal with your kids, then as they get older, they carry that out. So to me, when I look at some of my preschoolers, some of them, they're great. You know, they might throw a fit or something. Their parents are right on them. No, we don't act that way, whatever. There are other parents that are like, what are you going to do? I'm like, buddy, this child is 3. You have no idea what that looks like when they're 10 and 15. It's bad. You don't want to do that. But it tells me that Eli had set up a precedence with his children. He obviously was not a disciplinarian. His word was not the end all to be all, which means he didn't put God's word the end all to be all. Because if he had honored and respected God, he would have expected the same thing from his children, right? So those around us should know, no matter what happens, the things of God, God's word, this is how I live my life. It always comes first. Even when I'm in a quandary, I always have to look at what the word of God says. That's how I live my life. So if there's something in your life that you have control over, you see an area where, you know, there's no honor or respect going on. And, you know, it could be with, if you have children, it could be in your marriage relationship that you need to talk about something. It could be even in your job relationship. If it's within your control to do something about that, you know, lack of honor, you need to do something about it to fix that and correct it. Otherwise, you're honoring those people more than you're honoring God. So, like, I remember when our kids were little, and we all know strife is not something we want in our homes, right? God says where strife is, every evil thing is. And so we don't want that in our home. We always worked really hard with our children to make sure they didn't fall into strife. But there were always times that they did. I mean, they're siblings, right? So there are going to be arguments and stuff. But had I just sat back and let them go at it and let it go because I was just too tired to deal with it or whatever, then I was honoring them more than I was honoring the things of God. Because in our home, we wanted an area of peace, right? So even if you don't have children, or even singles, in your friendships and stuff, if you guys find yourself in this place where things are kind of spiraling out of control, you need to take control of that and say, no, we're not going to head towards strife. We're not going to be in argument. We can discuss something, but we need to keep it out of that area of strife. We want to honor God in our relationships, right? there was a, it's also always not others. Sometimes it's us, right? Sometimes in our own life we're going about, and I'll speak for myself, because it's in my message, and I was like, oh, Lord, I hear ya. Driving is my issue. And so I'll find myself in the car, and people are really irritating me on a certain day, probably, because I'm in a hurry, or I left too late, or traffic is just terrible. And I find myself having these emotions and wanting to say things, not cussing or anything, but just like, you're a jerk, what are you doing? You need to go to my training school, you know, my driving school. Just anything like that, because I get irritated, and it's like the Holy Spirit saying, hello, you're not really walking in honor. Like, if you were face to face with this person, would you be saying these things? I would not. You might, but I would not. So I have to find myself saying, okay, Lord, we'll put some music on, or I'll pray in spirit or whatever. But I have to remember to give it over to him. And he's constantly reminding me. I've gotten a lot better, haven't I, honey? Yes. Okay, thank you. That's the right answer. That's the right answer. But I really have gotten a lot better over the years, and I still have ways to go. But like in, I had a situation at my job. I'm just giving you a couple of examples of how you can take control of yourself in a situation that may not be in your control. At my job, there was, a memo that came out from our boss, and we have probably 40 employees, and I take a break with several of them, and, you know, I go around the campus and I hear different things. Well, when this memo came out, people were not happy. And I had read the memo and I was like, oh, okay, we need to tighten up our bootstraps and walk a little straighter. It was just a few things that we needed to be doing better. But you wouldn't have known that had you heard my staff. The staff was grumbling, complaining, how dare she ask us to do that? How dare she say blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, whoa, I'm getting away from this, because that is not honor and that is not respect. Now, I didn't say that to them, but in my heart, I knew I didn't want to be a participant of that. Because had I sat there and fed into that, oh, trust me, I would have gotten a whole lot more than what they were already saying. But to guard my own heart, because how many of us know honor and respect, it's all about your heart. It's a heart issue. And so in my own heart, I purposed, number one, I wasn't going to get in on that conversation. Number two, I already saw how it was affecting her because some of them, they do, you know, they'll go and they'll talk to her about it, but it's not usually in a respectful way. It's been, yeah, I've been here forever and why did you send this out? So she was having a hard time. So to protect my heart, I just went one step further and I wrote a little note to her. And I just explained to her, I know that when you're in a leadership position, it can be difficult to say things and blah, blah, blah. I want to let you know you're doing a good job. You know, there was nothing wrong with what you said, and I support you even when it makes me be better. Like, I want to follow somebody who makes me be better, right? Do you want to follow somebody who makes you be better? Because it catapults you forward. And so, you know, that's not a pat on my back by any means, but for me, that's what I needed to do to guard my heart, because the talk was all around me, and I could have let that get in me and been like, yeah, that was kind of stinky, but I didn't. So everything that we do, God should always be honored above all else. I want us to go over to Luke 19, and I don't know that I'm going to read this to you, but you all know it. I just want you to see it in your Bible because, you know, to know it's there is important, to see it with your eyes. That's a gateway into your heart. Did you know that? Right? That's why we guard what we see. And we make sure what we see, what we're putting in is good stuff. So it's Luke 19, 12 through 26. And I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. But I want you to see, it's the parable of the king who called 10 servants to him. And he gave them each 10 pieces of money. I don't know what kind of money it was. We're just going to say 10 pieces of money. And he tells them, I want you to go put this to work and until I come back. Go do something with this. And so it doesn't tell what all 10 of them did with it. But it does say that when he came back, he called one of them and the guy had doubled it. He took 10 and he got 20. He's like, here you go. This is what I got. And the guy was so appreciative. He's like, that's awesome. You were a good steward. I'm going to give you 10 cities to rule over. So I know we've used this in a principle of different things, but I'm using it in the area of honor today because the king looked at him and said, you did good. You honored me by doing what I asked you to do. So therefore, I'm going to honor you much more. And he gave him 10 cities. And then he called the other guy to him, and that guy, he'd taken 10 and he earned 5 more. And he was like, good job. So he took that and he said, I'm giving you 5 cities. And he didn't disparage that guy because he didn't make as much as the other guy. He actually put forth an effort. He honored the king in doing what he asked him to do. And he reaped a harvest for it. And then he called the last guy to him. And the guy was like, I didn't put it in the bank. I didn't put it anywhere. I didn't do anything with it because I was freaked out. So I just hid it in the ground. So here you go. It's back. Here are your 10. He's like, you didn't do anything with it? How did you do nothing with that? He did nothing. So to the king, it's like, you didn't honor me at all. You were just like, I'm in fear, so I'm just going to shove it over here. And so he took that guy's 10, and he didn't even divide it between the two. He took that guy's 10, and he gave it to the one who had made him double. And he said, this guy's a good steward. He honored me, and I'm giving this to him. So I think that's a pretty great picture of honor. First of all, the king trusted these men to call them in and say, I'm going to honor you with this responsibility. And I'm giving this, I want you to do something with it. And so they should have taken his trust in them and treated it with some weight, right? When God gives us something, we want to treat it as weighty. We want to treat it like it's worth something. Like if God's given you a gift, I'm probably getting ahead of myself. If God's giving you something, you want to treat it as something important. They should have taken that mandate and said, yes, I will, not out of fear, but of, wow, he trusted me. Out of all the people he could have asked, he trusted me with this. What am I going to do with it? And awesome, we have Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, what do I do with this? We're not left at a, well, I don't know, then I'm just left to my own mind. And I just want to remember, 1 Samuel 2:30 says, God honors those who honor him. So when we give him honor, when we give him more honor, he honors us even more. And so you might be asking, so how does God honor us? How does God honor us? Well, first of all, he honors us with his presence. Now, he's already said he's in us. He's with us. But I would submit to you, in this church, and I know in your lives, we have experienced the presence of God. We know that he has visited us in a more tangible way than just knowing he's in us, right? And so he's honored us in here. He's honored us in our homes. He's talked to us in the night hour. I've heard some of you say, God showed me this. He honors us by entrusting us with his pure and holy things. I mean, this is not a game here. I know we may look around and say there's not 1,000 people in here, but we need to treat what we have as weighty. This is an honor to have a building that we're not meeting in somebody's, you know, glorified living room somewhere. Not that that was bad, but it was a starting point. But look what God's done for us. Is this our building? No. But we are treating it with honor and with respect. We take care of it. We clean it. We've been doing yard work. Why? Because we are sowing seed. We're being honoring in everything that we do. And, you know, we have to watch ourselves sometimes. Sometimes not everything is perfect. We got to check our heart and make sure that we're still being honoring and respecting, because God's the one who allows us to be in here. God's the one who allows us to keep our equipment set up, and we don't have to tear it down every week. I mean, I know a few of us in this room, we've done the whole meet at a school thing or meet at a hotel thing. You got to set up and tear down every Sunday. Oh my goodness, let me just tell you. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to do that anymore. That is just delivery on its own right there. But how else does God honor us? He illuminates his word to us. If we're studying his word or we're listening to something and he drops it in our heart or something is highlighted to us, he's honoring you by showing you that. He said those things are hidden for my people. They're hidden not from you, but for you. So as you seek after him and he shows you something, that's honor. God's showing you honor. He brings people into your life who love you, who care about you. He brings you resources. He gives you answers. Things sometimes we're in a quandary. What do? God gives you answers. He's given us healing. How many of us in here have experienced healing on some level or another? Every single one of us. He's honored us with his presence of healing. He gives us opportunities. Opportunities are part of his way of honoring us. And so we don't want to take those things as light. We want to take them as, God, thank you so much. Now show me what to do with it. Because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we're not sure how to proceed. You know, in Malachi 1:6, we don't have to turn there, but basically the whole beginning chapter in there is basically talking about how they were mistreating the offering of how he told them to do things. And he was talking to leaders. He was talking to them about how, you know, they weren't doing what I showed you how to do this, and you are treating these with contempt. You're treating it lightly. You're treating it as, no big deal. We'll just do it this way. And he said, so where's my honor? If a father gets honor and a master gets honor, am I not a father? I'm a father. No, he's the father. And he's saying, where's my honor? And that was like, oh, Lord, I don't ever want you to say that to me. I don't think he would, but if he did, that would hurt my heart. I never want him to look at me and say, where's my honor? Shelby, what have you been doing? Proverbs 3:9, I know some places in the King James Version, several other versions, actually not in the King James. In other versions it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, and so most people have used that as your money. But in the King James Version it says, honor the Lord with your substance. Now that could mean money, but you have substance that he's given you. You want to honor him with that, right? So what has he given us? He's given us time. He's given us insights. He's given us resources. This was where I said, this got me. He gave me a car, so I need to honor the Lord with my car and not have road rage. let's see. He's given us a spouse. Some of us he's given children. Some of us he's given friends. He's given us talents. And we need to be honoring the Lord with those things. So let him show you how to honor him with these things. In Romans 3, 7, and 8, so I want to talk about this. This has been used for money too, but there's a translation called the God's Word Translation, and I really like the wording of it. Again, it's Romans 13, 7, and 8, and I'm just going to read it to you really quickly out of my notes. It says this, and let me rewind one second. Some people go, well, I only read out of this translation, or I only read out of this translation. The only reason I read out of different translations is to get a new thought, not to get a different thought that's contrary to the Word of God, but sometimes when you read in another version, it enhances what's already been said. It helps me understand it a little better, or just get a little bit different side view of it and go, oh yeah. So that's what I'm doing here. So it says this, pay everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay them. If you owe tolls, pay them. If you owe someone respect, respect that person. If you owe someone honor, honor that person. Pay your debts as they come due. However, one debt you can never finish paying is the debt of love that you owe each other. So when we hear about owing honor or owing respect, some people hear it like this. Some people hear, yeah, I'm owed respect. Like, you owe me. You owe me respect. You know, have you ever heard, you know, you will respect me. This is my, whatever, my company, my house, some people grew up with, you know, this is my home. You will respect me, you know. I don't know who was raised like that, but you cannot demand. You can demand all you want, but you can't make anybody honor you and respect you. So when you think about that, then some people go, okay, that's right. So then who's earned my respect? So they're looking. Well, that person hasn't really earned my respect. In fact, you've done things to not earn my respect, so I don't have to respect you. But that is not what the Word says to us. Right? That's not what we just read. The Word of God says if you owe it, you pay it. Right? So think of it in terms of taxes. Such a lovely subject coming up on April 15th. So say you owe some taxes and you think to yourself, I don't think I really, they haven't earned my respect. They haven't earned my money. I earned that money. So you write them a nice little letter and you say, Dear IRS, you know, I've thought about it, I've prayed about it, and I really don't feel like I owe you this, so I'm not going to pay my taxes. Do you know what they're going to tell you? Sorry, sucker, pay up. Or we have ways of getting it. That's what they're going to tell you. And so when it comes to honor and respect, we want to freely give that. Because let me just tell you, I know I'm coming at it from a place of, you know, this is kind of honor, this is dishonor, this is how we want to do it. But really, talking about it being a heart issue, I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you because you're here and you do seek after the things of God. But there are people who may not feel like this, but I feel like this. I want to honor God so much that he honors me back. And it's not for that reason. I just think, when I think about everything that he's done for me, how he's led me and how he's spoken to me and the opportunities that he's given me and the people that I've gotten to meet and the people that are in my life, I'm overwhelmed by his love. And so in turn, I just want to find other ways to honor him. Because I tell you, I want what he has for me. Everything that he set out on my path for me to receive, there's a path for me to go on, for me to get those things. And I want to make sure that I'm on that path. And so when we do that heart check and we realize that this is how we move forward, then we say, Holy Spirit, show me how to do this. Show me what honor looks like. So I guess I'm posing the question to you today. Are we willing to allow God to show us who we owe respect to, who we should honor, who we should respect? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to give so the next question after we answer that, so are we willing to give the honor due to someone else? Yes. I say yes. You can answer it in your head. But are we willing to give that honor and respect no matter how we feel? That's the kicker. So I'll just use myself again. In the car, driving down the road, feeling very frustrated that I can't get over in the next lane to get around the slowpoke in front of me. How am I going to treat that person in front of me? Well, first of all, I can't call him a slowpoke because it's not the words, it's my heart. And I need to either find some patience, I need to figure it out, but I can't have that hard attitude of, you know, something I heard that was really powerful the other day, and is grumbling and complaining is the sound of worship that comes from hell. And I went, oh, ouch. I do not want to line myself up with that. Grumbling and complaining is what hell sounds like. That's what they're full of. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear myself doing that. And so I want to come up to a new level. So lately I've been thinking, okay, I don't want to fall under that category. You know, when I go to say, oh, I wish I had, or I didn't, or I wish I'd done this or whatever. It's like, okay, is that on the, like, let's not be on the fence of grumbling, complaining. We don't want to be there. So, but this is the deal. Honoring someone or respecting someone does not mean that you agree with them. Doesn't mean that you agree with what they say or what they do or how they've acted. It doesn't mean any of that. All it means is I owe respect to this person. I pay my respects. We use that in the world, right? You pay your respects. Or if someone honors you with their presence, right? We use these terms all the time. And so I'll give you a little example from when I was back in the day. We all know that we owe our bosses respect, right? Even if you don't agree with their tactics or whatever, they stand in a position of authority. So we give them honor, we give them respect, even if we don't agree with them. And so when I was working at a place in Oklahoma, it's where Dan and I met at back there, I had a friend, and we all worked together. We all started about the same time, and we worked the night shift. Well, at some point, after we had bonded, and we had this really great friendship, right, and she's quite a bit old, well, I say quite a bit older. She's like 5 years older than me, but when you're 18 or 19, that's a lot. And so we're there, and we've been working there for about a year. Well, she gets promoted to being the night supervisor, okay? So I like to talk, and we're sitting there reading mail, and it's boring, and I don't want to just sit and read mail. I want to talk, but we're not allowed to talk. But I do talk because I'm 19. And so, you know, she corrected me on a few things. And boy, did I get an attitude. Because in my mind, there's no separation in my 19-year-old brain between she has now stepped into the arena of being my boss and I am her employee. Now, outside, we're equals because we're friends. But right now, she's supposed to be my boss, so I need to respect her. Well, my 19-year-old brain, that didn't work. So I gave her a hard time a little bit. I'm not really that kind of person, but I have a way of giving a hard time. So I wasn't very respectful to her. So that was my bad. So learn from my lesson. I know other times at that job, you know, they would say, now this is the way we would like you to do something. And I would look at that and I would think, that's stupid. I can do it a whole lot faster if I do it this way. So I very quickly earned the nickname Shortcut Shelby. But I guarantee you some of those shortcuts probably weren't the best way to do things. There was a protocol to go by, but I thought that my way was better. And because I was 19, I will blame it on my age at the time, I just figured that's fine. As long as no one's getting hurt, it's fine. But you know what? It's not. Looking back now, I realize it's not. And I didn't fix it, just so you know. Like, I was like that till the day I gave birth. I worked there till the day I gave birth to Jalen. So, but I didn't fix it. But looking back now, I realize, you know what? I should not have usurped their authority like that, because that was dishonoring. That was not showing respect. I should have said, this is protocol. This is how I do it. And, you know, I thought it was all fun and games, but really it was a heart issue. Don't challenge me. I have a better way. And I would have told them had they asked me, but they didn't ask. But it is a heart issue. So I have a lot more to go. And I don't know, Pastor said possibly next week, if I get enough to fill in next week, I might do it next week. But I want to leave us on this because we're going to go ahead and close. But with those questions in mind and with the information that I've given you about allowing God to show us who we owe, who do we show honor and respect to, if we allow him to do that, I believe that we will come up another level. And if we say yes, no matter how I feel, I will give that person honor and respect. As simple or as silly as it may be, if Holy Spirit draws it to your attention, in order for us to go to a new level, in order for us to be catapulted forward, in order for us to continue walking out what we've talked about already in authentic community, I think it's very important for us to allow Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us. And you know, he's so awesome. He doesn't push us. And he only does, you know, he'll try something, but if we avoid him, he'll back off for a bit. Then he'll try it again. So if we want to go forward, then, and I believe that's all of our purpose here, then I think that that's what we're going to pray together today. And you can repeat after me, but we're just going to stand up because we're getting ready to close. Because here's the deal, guys. When we learn to honor God more in whatever areas he tells us to, it causes us to grow up. And when it causes us to grow up, then people are drawn to what's in us. I don't know if you've ever, I'm pulling a Pastor Dan. Give me just a minute. There have been two distinct bosses that came to mind when I was writing about this part. There was one boss I had. It was very, very easy to honor and respect him. Not because he was a man or because of anything else. It was the character that he held. He was honoring and respectful to the staff. He was true to what he said. He let his yes be yes and his no be no. And I was drawn to that. And I was like, this is easy to respect you. You want me to show up on time? I'm rarely on time, back then especially. I'm rarely on time, so I will be on time though for you because you asked me to. It made me want to come up to another level. And then there was another boss who took the position that she held and used her freedoms as liberties to be disrespectful, requiring things that she wouldn't have required across the board. There's a whole lot of things that she did that I was just like, man, that's not respectful. That's using people. That's using your staff. You're not pouring into them. You're just requiring this, and you're dragging all this out, and then you expect us to rise to this level. And man, I had a hard time respecting that person because it wasn't that same attitude. I want to be the person that people are drawn to because of the quality of what's inside of me. And I think that's what you want too. So let's pray this together. Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me who I'm supposed to honor and respect. I willingly choose to hear your voice when it comes to everyday things and showing honor and respect. Take these things I've heard today, the things you've shown me in my heart, and seal them in me so I can come up to a new level. I thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.